Blog Talk Radio.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce.
GLaDOS had us there for a minute.
No. GLaDOS, keep it or not, man, I've been gone for like, I don't know, a week, a month, something like that.
She is writ to fight.
I will have to stab you in the face, GLaDOS.
Ooh, child. There was a sneeze in there, y'all didn't get to hear. Thank God.
Bless you.
So how was your trip? Did you enjoy seeing the countryside?
Lots of corn. I saw lots of corn. when I wasn't seeing corn, I was seeing something else. I don't remember what it was. Soybeans. There we go. I've seen soybeans. So I saw a lot of corn. I saw a lot of soybeans. I saw a lot of dirt. Yeah. I saw a lot of stupid people on the highway. People, y'all are idiots when you get on the highway. Wow, some of the stuff I saw. We are on a, well, I guess it was a two-lane highway, and there are three semis passing each other three wide.
What?
Yes.
So in effect, it's blocking off the entire road.
Yes, and one and a half of those trucks going the entire wrong direction.
Okay.
So there's one guy driving down the middle of the road, one semi in the middle, one semi on the right, all the way over, almost hitting the stupid guardrail, and one on the left, passing both of them, almost hitting the other guardrail, and there's oncoming traffic. I was like, that's not cute. That's not cool. You were all idiots. But it was cool. Chicago was huge. It was really pretty. We got there. It was very humid, very hot. There was some bad weather when we actually got there. So there was, like, talk of tornadoes and everything. But beyond that...
Wow!
I did make the person I was with and the waitress at our restaurant Tuesday kind of laugh at me. We're ordering drinks, and she asked me what I want, and I was like, tea. And she kind of stutters, and she looks at me for a minute. She finally asks, hot or cold? iced tea, please. Seriously. I almost had to ask her, who drinks hot tea?
I do.
Well, I do when I'm sick and I don't feel good, but beyond that, when you're...
And
like,
English people drink hot tea, you should know these things.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. English people love their tea hot.
Yeah, but they also put, like, milk and stuff in it, which is, like... No.
Well, depending on the tea, yeah, I put some milk in it. Some milk and lemon is good.
No.
See, you're not a real tea drinker.
No, you put sugar in it and you drink it.
No, you are such a southerner, Ginger.
Well, yeah. But at least I was able to hide my accent enough because at one of the appointments I was at, this guy walks up and he's talking to the lady at the desk. And he has a very, very southern drawl. And she couldn't understand him at all. She had to keep asking him to repeat himself. And to the person I was with, they sounded completely normal.
My mind is somewhere else. Okay, I was about to say something bad.
Yes. All right, let's do this.
By the way, uh-huh. Baby Natrix filled in for you on Monday.
I heard that. I didn't see her, so I have to go back and listen. But that sounds awesome. I heard she did wonderful.
She tried to rock it. She's a little pistol. Yeah. She was ready to do it again Tuesday, but I was like, we're taking a break today, okay? But I'm ready to do the news. I saw something I want to talk about. I was like, okay.
Oh, my God. That's so cute. I'm going to have to go back and listen now.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
But might I jump in because I have to fill you in on what happened. You people out there with the Vita?
Yes. Tell me, what happened with the Vita?
Castanets are on fire. As we told you yesterday, Vita, people have been complaining, saying that it's getting really hot and not the sexy kind of hot. The Japanese government is now jumping into the middle of the fray, and they've ordered an investigation into the PlayStation Vita hardware following complaints of overheating. According to Japanese website Yomiuri Shimbun via Wired, there have been 31 cases of Vita's overheating since the launch. Since the device launched, 23 in Japan so far, and 8 here in the U.S., Europe, and Australia. An investigation into the matter will be conducted by the National Institute of Technology and Evaluation. They're an independent body working on behalf of the Ministry of Economy and Trade Industry. A list of the cases, which occurred in various parts of Japan at various times, has been posted on several internet forums. The description suggests that the problem occurs while the Vita is charging, causing the charge cable to burn out. Yes, catch fire.
Oh, wow, that's not cute.
Or possibly catch fire. Anyway, that's still dangerous. Sony Japan acknowledged the complaints in an official press release, though it claims the problem is due to users charging their Vitas after exposing the Vita's multi-cable to liquids or foreign substances, which we told you yesterday. How is it just by chance that over 31 people are just exposing their cable to liquids? I'm just curious, Japan.
I don't know.
One person, maybe. Five, maybe. But 30, not likely.
Alright, these be some fighting words, and this just came out.
Cut them.
Gabe Newell.
Oh, that was going to be mine.
I stole it. You stole it. I stole it. Gabe Newell calls Windows 8 a catastrophe for PC game developers. Those aren't some fighting words. I don't know what is. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Speaking at the Casual Connect Game Conference this week, Valve CEO Gabe Newell described Microsoft's next Windows operating system, Windows 8, as a catastrophe for PC game developers. They say if that's not an apocalyptic prophecy for gamers, I don't know what is. Newell told attendees that the issues presented by Windows 8 are at the heart of the company's recent push of the Linux OS. Newell singled out the closed nature of the Windows 8 store, which he describes as a walled garden. Newell went on to say that the success of walled gardens like Apple Store for iOS is because developers look at what they can accomplish when they limit the competitors' access to the platform, and they say that's really exciting. He says, we'll lose some of the top-tier PC OEMs who will exit the market. I think margins will be destroyed for a bunch of people. He adds that moving to Linux platform is part of a hedging strategy for Valve in the face of Windows 8. We want to make it as easy as possible for the 2,500 games on Steam to run on Linux as well. Of course, Linux has its own set of challenges with adoption among less tech-savvy PC consumers. You know what? I was just about to, as soon as the show was over, go and install the Windows 8 version that they have out that you can install for free right now.
Yeah.
I may not. No, you're not going to screw with my games. I'm sorry. No.
Well, I told you, I'm hanging back on the XP till I absolutely have no choice.
Well, they've got the one alpha beta that you can try, and it's the 64-bit, and I kind of need it for APB. I may be installing it later. I don't know. We'll see.
It's horrible.
It is horrible.
I don't think that was a smart move at this point in time.
I don't think so either.
Ooh, breaking news.
Breaking news? Uh-oh.
This is literally breaking. Twitter is down.
I was wondering what was going on. I was trying to get into Twitter, and I was like, is it my connection?
Twitter is down. Wow. And I mean, it's down. There's not even the blue whale. So over to Google Plus. Breaking news. Twitter is down. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm posting that on Google Plus. See? I love social networking. Okay, wow. So we'll keep you posted on that during the hour. I was wondering why my tweets were not posting.
I'm also like, I want to go to Twitter. Let me in. And it's not letting me in.
Well, people, just so you know, you can find us everywhere, not just Twitter. We are also on Google Plus and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get on Twitter, find us elsewhere. Wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I would say go to our website. But
Well, you can, but we're still, oh gosh, so much work to do, so much to do. Okay, but it's pretty. Okay, so, by the way, Zynga. Ooh, Zynga's not having a
Zynga,
good time.
Zynga, no. No, I saw that. They're not having a good time.
No, Zynga's the social game maker lost shares. Their shares lost about 35% of their value in hours after trading today in response to the company's disastrous earnings report. Ouch. Zynga reported a revenue of $332 million with a net loss of $22.8 million or 3 cents a share. And that's far below the estimated 6 per share, many analysts predicted. Comparably, the company had revenue of $279 million and a net income of $1.4 million a year ago in the same quarter. The company's stock closed the day at $5.19, but it dropped at one point by 40% on the news of the terrible earnings. To try and keep up some momentum and to keep users engaged, Zynga launched several new games this quarter, quietly, including Bubble Safari and The Ville. But clearly, that did not work. Mark Pincus, who said, we face some new short-term challenges, which led to a sequential decline in bookings. He said, despite this, we're optimistic about long-term growth prospects on mobile, where we've had a window of opportunity to drive the same kind of social game revolution that we enabled on the web. Pincus said in a conference call today that the company plans to launch its first real-money online gambling poker game. Oh, God. In the first half of 2013, perhaps that will help the company get onto the investors.
No, people who I know play this, I'm looking at y'all. You know who I'm looking at. Don't. Ooh. All right? Don't do it.
Analysts on Twitter naturally Twitter, which is down, by the way, in case you didn't hear this, pounded the company for the disastrous performance today. One tweet from at Reformed Broker said, 50 million Americans are on food stamps, and Wall Street is shocked that they're not buying fake beep on Zynga Farmville. another one is quoted, says Zynga is another broken stock that I'm glad I stayed away from and kept clients clear of. It's from Nicholas Olson, who's a certified financial planner. The shares have come up a little bit to 35%. Wow. I'm glad I didn't buy any Zynga stock. Or if you did, you need to buy it and get out quick. You need to get in and get out.
Yeah. See, people, I was like, no. And this all went down. I was like, no, don't do this.
Well, we had this some years ago when we first started. We had a financial advisor come on, and we talked about buying stocks and games and what's a good way to do so. And he, you know, I was saying, you know, is it a good time to buy stocks when games are new or when they come out? And he says, really, you kind of have to be careful about doing that. He says, it may work. He said, but, you know, we're talking, if you're a day trader and you've got time to sit and say, you know, I'm going to buy stock in EA while Call of Duty's out and then, you know, get out really quickly, that means you have to be very astute and watch. Mm-hmm. But he says, of course, you want to watch long term. And what I watch from Zynga long term is their games do not change. Only the subject matter of the game changes, but the gameplay doesn't. Like, if you play Farmville to, you know, over to any of them, their Oregon Trail knockoff, they're all the same game. I mean, exactly the same game.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click. You're out of energy. You could buy some now or come back later. You come back, click, 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 click. There's no strategy. There was nothing new there that I hadn't seen. Even with The Ville, I think I popped in for a couple of seconds and it was the same thing. And the bad part is EA is mimicking them, but EA has other games. To, you know, if their Sims on Facebook doesn't do well, or their version of The Sims doesn't do well, they've got other games to supplement the income. Zynga doesn't. So that's why I was like, I'm not buying the stock. I need to see you guys come out with a game. And I was like, that's Zynga? They did that? This is awesome. I never said that. Ever.
Ever. Ever, ever.
And then they do Cafe World, too? Isn't that one of theirs?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it does seem like that is.
Same game over and over. You guys need to grab some new talent and come up with something completely new and different.
New? No. See, we are all regurgitating what everybody else is doing right now, so no, especially all of you who are copying us. Just saying.
Had to throw that out there. Dig it.
Had to.
Dig it.
All right. There's a sale going on today I want to let everybody know about. I don't know how long the sale is going to be going on, but Target.com right now, all video games are marked down. Yes, there is a temporary price cut going on for all the video games.
We're not going to Target. Aren't they in that we don't like gay people camp?
Oh, my God. You know what? Never mind. Screw Target. I almost forgot about that. No. My bad. Never mind. All right, since I hate you, Target, there's somebody I hate a little bit less worse, and everybody knows I hate these people like passion. RuneScape to go multi-platform, claims JGIX. Oh, yes, by the way, Target, I hate them less than I hate you. Develop is reporting that JGIX plans to take its 200 million registered users strong MMO RuneScape to the next level. All right, hold on. I got to back up. They keep saying 200 million people are playing this game, or they say registered users. I keep noticing this. They're harping on the registered users. Are these active users or not? Because if you're just using the registered users, then you're padding your numbers.
And, Ginger, the student has surpassed the master. You noticed that keyword. And that's when you know you got a good reporter on your hands because she noticed that detail. I always notice that. Registered users just means people signed up. That don't mean they're playing.
I had an account back in, like, 1999 or some crap. 2000,
and it's probably
whenever.
Still there if you go back, but that doesn't mean you were playing.
It was a horrible game. Horrible game. All right, so anyways, JGIX CEO Mark Gerhard told Develop that the studio's long-term plan for the game has always been to make it ubiquitous? Ubiquitous? I can't say the word.
Ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
Let it go, Ginger.
I can't say it. On any device that can connect to the internet and to make it available in multiple languages. He promised a major step forward in the MMORPG in the coming months. Gerhard did not specify which platforms and devices the company plans to bring RuneScape to. Our vision was to be platform and language agnostic, going global with it and being ubiquitous on any device that's connected to the internet is very much where we are headed. There's going to be a big step forward on that front in just a few months' time. It will be a major innovative step forward and a square, solid move towards being multi-platform. Gerhard went on to say that the company's number one focus is to continue to create fun for its players wherever they are and whatever ecosystem they are in. Yeah, all right. So you know what? Just grab some dirt and a stick and draw. There you go, RuneScape. And Corey's all quiet.
That would be because I'm muted and laughing. Okay, so Ubisoft is doing nice things.
Oh, are they?
Yes, they are working with Commercial Break, which is supposed to support a new initiative for disadvantaged teens. Publisher Ubisoft has signed up with Commercial Break, a scheme to help teenagers from underprivileged backgrounds break into the communications industry. As part of the scheme, Ubisoft has invited a group of young people to devise a marketing campaign for one of its upcoming releases. Ubisoft's head of brand marketing, Mark Slaughter, is saying we're looking forward to working with Commercial Break. As a client, we're always looking for creativity and new ideas that challenge the status quo, and we believe that participants will bring a fresh new perspective, especially as many of them form part of our new target audience and will be on the same wavelength as consumers we're trying to reach. It says we're also committed to making a contribution to helping young, creative individuals get into a career path that makes use of their talent. We hope these first experiences will inspire them to look at further career opportunities in the creative industries. 18 to 19 year olds are taking part, and they were specifically selected from a group of 30 applicants after a selection process that included a workshop and one-to-one interviews. Commercial Break's co-founder James Hillhouse says, "We're thrilled to be working with Ubisoft. Video games are at the heart of creative entertainment for young people, and this is a fantastic first project. Which can draw out the creative skills from the Commercial Break team. They can't wait to get started. Once they've completed the task, the hope is that the participants will use the experience to find paid internships with the continuing support of Commercial Break. The sad fact is that your background still largely dictates the opportunities that come your way. We want to make sure that creatively talented young people who happen to be from underprivileged backgrounds get the break they deserved. We really believe that that sort of young person involved in Commercial Break is going to bring a different kind of creativity to the industry. Commercial Break was launched just this year, 2012. We'll see what you do.
All right. Guess we will. Okay, so what have I got? I got a couple of different things here. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to read because there's just so much crap stuff going on. I've been gone several days. My brain's all mush. Sony Computer Entertainment Europe and Birmingham City University team up for scholarships. It is that time of year again, people. Sony Computer Entertainment Europe has teamed up with Birmingham City University to give students in the Gamer Camp program the opportunity to receive scholarships and a job with Sony. This is the second year that Sony has given the university game development students access to its PlayStation Academic Scholarships program. Access to Sony development hardware experience, industry support, and these PlayStation Academic Scholarships provides Gamer Camp students with an unparalleled educational opportunity. This is coming from Gamer Camp co-founder Guy Wilde. Anyways, from four scholarships are up for grabs this year. Winners of the scholarship will have half of their Gamer Camp fees paid for, and one lucky student will be offered a six-month paid position at one of Sony's studios. Sign-ups for the scholarship program are available until August 1st, so get on that, people. You don't have much time left. And you can get that done at bcu.ac.uk. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, so seriously, people, go over there and do that. That's awesome.
Well, we need more scholarships over here.
We do.
Well, here's some sad news for our people in our sad people at Microsoft. Oh, I'm sorry to tell y'all this. In Vancouver, they've been laid off.
Oh, no.
Microsoft has apparently laid off 35 people at its Vancouver studio, ending development of Microsoft Flight and Kinect Interactive TV game Project Columbia. The anonymous source said that the entire studio located at 840 Canby Street had been closed and the project canceled. This was also posted on a Facebook page for Vancouver innovators, though Microsoft has since released a statement indicating that an unspecified number, though not all, of the studio's employees have been made redundant. All of the job losses were from the teams at Microsoft Flight and Project Columbia, an interactive TV project aimed at children. Microsoft Studios is always evaluating its portfolio of products to determine what is best for gamers, families, and the company. And this decision was a result of a natural ebb and flow of our portfolio management, the statement read. GI.biz is also saying that they said many factors were considered in the difficult decision to stop development on Microsoft Flight and Project Columbia, but we feel it will help us better align our long-term goals and development plans. In other words, we didn't need y'all. Bye-bye. This is yet another instance of Vancouver-based studio shedding employees or closing entirely in recent months, including Radical Entertainment, Capcom Vancouver, and Rockstar Vancouver. Ouch. In Rockstar's case, the employees were moved to its Toronto studio, where the tax breaks from the Ontario government are far more generous, 37.5% versus the Vancouver 17.5%. So Rockstar kept their people. Hate to put people all out of jobs and stuff.
At least it's done during the summer. As much as I hate for people to lose jobs, I'd rather it be done now and not during the holidays.
True.
Mm-hmm. This gives you, 6 months to find a job and get settled before the holidays.
That's right.
All right, so, former Rift players invited to return to Talara for free through July 29th. Beginning today, all former Rift players are invited back to Talara to sample the latest and greatest content that Trion's hit MMORPG has to offer. Any previous subscribers with characters above level 20 can log in for free through Sunday, July 29th, and experience unrestricted access to recently added features including Conquest, 3 faction PvP, 4 new zones of instant adventure, the new Primeval Feast Raid Silver, and a popular mentoring system. For players eagerly anticipating Rift Storm Legion, the game's first expansion due out later this year, now is the perfect time to come back and prep your character for a fight against Crucia. All right, so if you want to play this, all players have access to levels 1 through 20 completely free with Rift Lite. Sign up over at riftgame.com. So go over there, check it out. Do it. All right, and since that one is short, can I grab another maybe?
But of course.
All right, Darkblood unleashes massive content update with a level cap raise. Just 1 week after its wildly successful open beta launch, really, I didn't even hear about you. Outspark is making good on its promise of providing a steady stream of fresh, exciting content for its hit free-to-play fighting game, Darkblood. Overnight, the level cap was raised to level 30, and Act 2 content made its debut with new maps, mobs, quests, dungeons, customizations, and a gym system. This new chapter in the Darkblood story takes players to the town of Watervale, where they will join Liberators through a winding quest chain across challenging and vast terrain, until the Monarch of Darkness is found and defeated, and the path is cleared to the Fortress of Quarn, where the fate of all will be decided. Dark Blood is doing gangbusters. It's fantastic to see the game packed with players having such a great time. From the start, average time in game has been impressive, and the core elite have been progressing rapidly. We are extremely happy to be delivering this accelerated content schedule to meet fan demand, says Philip Yun, CEO of Outspark. These are thrilling times for Outspark. We just blew past 10 million registered users, are heading towards 1 million Facebook fans, and were named a launch partner for Amazon Game Connect. We're on a roll, blasting full speed ahead. Yay! You guys can play Dark Blood for free over at darkblood.outspark.com. And you can win valuable prizes by participating in live Game Master events, including Friday Fights, Dark Blood's PvP tournaments, starting Friday, August 3rd. Events, details, forums, game guides, all that are over on darkblood.com. If you head over to our website, I've got this up for you as well, so you can actually go and click on the links. Click on the links. Do it.
Yay!
Yay!
Did we get to drink the blood, really?
I hope so.
No, there will be none of that. All right.
None of what?
Bad yawning business. Okay, let's do a Twitter check.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to do a Twitter check.
Okay.
Yes, people, Twitter is still down. Call it again, 1126.
You broke it. Jay, it was you, wasn't it?
Is he listening? Is he over on Google Plus? Is that where he is?
I don't know. I'm just calling him out.
Well, he's most likely listening. Oh, well, you guys hop over to Google Plus if you still like, because I know some of you like to interact with us. We are, at least I'm on.
I've got my Facebook page up, so leave us a story.
This is true. Well, I'll be on Google Plus. You harass Ginger over on Facebook. All right. Everybody, sing. Everybody sing.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. O Games Inc., a publisher of family, social, and sports video games and part of OG International Limited, announced today its plans to release Everyone Sing for PlayStation 3 and for Xbox and for the Wii and for your computer. The Everyone Sing soundtrack is loaded with licensed tracks and an array of hot artists, including Nicki Minaj, Pussycat Dolls, Jessie J, Michael Bubble, and Nicole Scherzinger, and many more. Basically the same people that are on every karaoke game that comes out recently. You got your Girls Aloud, The Promise, Marina and the Diamonds, Hollywood, Example, Kickstarts, Lionel Richie, All Night Long. Really?
Lionel Richie.
Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus.
No!
Yeah, I heard what
no,
I...
No, all right, no, see, no, that game goes in the trash right now just for that song. No.
I don't see anything on here that I want to sing. Okay, but everyone sing.
Girl game.
Yes. Girl game, what?
I said fail.
Oh,
fail.
I thought you said girl.
Fail.
I was like, Ginger, you are out of here. Anyway.
Fail game. Fail.
They say you can sing together together or with friends. Singers follow along to the lyrics displayed on the screen to match timings, musical pitch, and sustain notes to earn the highest score. With multiple party modes, including Pass the Bomb, Group Mode, Know Your Song, and more, players can bring the party home for family and friends. It is rated T for teen. I am not finding this all that entertaining, people. I'm sorry, your songs are not...
Not cute.
No, I'm not even familiar with these songs. Usually, sometimes, even if I don't know the artist, the title will... No, I'm not feeling this. And it might be a good game. Anybody out there, you decide to pick it up. If you like it, you let us know. Mm.
In the meantime, I'm totally going to be judging you for singing Achy Breaky Heart. What's wrong with you people?
You don't be talking about Achy Breaky Heart. You know, I had to go into my southern accent when I say that. You can't say that about Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, I still can.
You know what? I did not like that song when it was out. I liked Billy Ray Cyrus and, his stance on the song back in the day, but I never liked the song. I like him.
Yeah. You can keep All right, so did you happen to talk about the Diablo 3 exploit?
We may or may not have. We were talking about something with the store, but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right, another Diablo 3 exploit uncovered. Blizzard promises hotfix for first one. Even as Blizzard promises that a hotfix is on the way to deal with the Blizzard Wizard Invincibility exploit in Diablo 3 that was uncovered yesterday. Well, this is a couple of days ago now. Players have found another one related to the Barbarian class. Blizzard finally responded to news that an exploit with the Wizard class gave players savvy enough to make it work temporary invulnerability, even in multiplayer games. We are currently rolling out a hotfix for a recent bug regarding invulnerable wizards. We will continue to carefully monitor this issue and welcome anyone with information about bugs or hacks to submit a detailed report to our hack teams by mailing hacks@blizzard.com or by completing the hacks report web form. In your correspondence, please include any steps necessary to replicate the issue as well as any additional details you are able to provide. Ow!
Ginger, are you all right?
Yeah, there's a sticker somewhere. Anyways, meanwhile, this Battle.net forum thread supposedly uncovered another exploit involving the Barbarian class. Users can trigger the exploit by performing a furious charge with a dreadnought runs after Cydia, a minor boss in the area crater of Act 3, right before her cutscene rolls out. After this, the game is tricked into thinking that all movement in enemies is a furious charge. This, coupled with the rune, which provides a leeching effect, gives players an endless supply of health regeneration. Apparently, this exploit works on all game modes.
Yay. Well, that's like my City of Heroes exploit that I refuse to share. I will not be sharing it ever. I'll tell you what, I'll share it if the game ever dies completely. I will share the exploit that I have.
Okay.
It's not a bad exploit. It's, wow. okay, there's an update from Twitter. They said users may be experiencing issues accessing Twitter's. Our issue engineers are currently working to resolve it. Twitter's been officially down for about 48 minutes or more. Oof. Wow. Let me check. I'm curious. Yeah, that would explain why I wasn't getting any, and I mean absolutely no updates from my phone. Usually I have something. Anything? No? Wow. I'm looking. Nothing. Twitter is completely dead, at least for us on this end. All right. Sorry, people. Speaking of,
down for the count.
Speaking of exploits and sneaky things, there has been a reboot of all of our favorite spies. Yes, that black spy, that white spy, Spy versus Spy. That's right, Robots and Pencils, together with First Star Software, Inc., and Warner Brothers announced today that the landmark hit Spy vs. Spy is now available for your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad, featuring the famous black and white spies from DC Entertainment's Mad Magazine with online and social online and local multiplayer matches. It's still social. They have 16 new embassies, plus the original 8, and a pixel-perfect retro mode, as well as a modern mode. Spy vs. Spy is just $1.99 on the iTunes App Store. Based on the original Spy vs. Spy game, the iOS title brings back all the humor, action, and fisticuffs that made the original an all-time multi-million unit selling hit. The modern update takes the original gameplay as designed, developed, and published by First Star Software in 1984 for the Apple II, that's right, I said Apple II, the Atari 400, 800, and Commodore 64. Some of you are grabbing your heads like you have brain freeze right now, I know it. And adds HD visuals, supports of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and Apple's Game Center, as well as 4 remixes of the original music and many other features. Online plus multiplayer support is also in, Sabotage and Intrigue included. 16 brand new embassies for a total of 24. You can play alone in custom matches for all 24 embassies, each with 5 levels of difficulty. You select the IQ of the opposing spy. Retina graphics for the new iPad and iPhone. New full-screen club-to-club combat in modern mode. Modern and retro game modes, both featuring Simulvision, Simulplay, and your very own Trapulator. 5 types of body traps to play as the famous black and white spies from Mad Magazine. Integrated Game Center leaderboards and achievements. Includes the original theme music, plus 4 new remixes, and a universal app you can play on iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. What about Droid? Come on, really?
Droid.
If at first you don't succeed, spy. Spy again. All right.
Oh, my God.
So that is available right now, I believe, on the App Store. I'm trying to get a price for you guys. They didn't give me any. Oh, $1.99. I did say that earlier. It's $1.99 if you want to do Spy versus Spy. That just sounds like fun. Sounds like fun. Theory.
I liked Spy vs. Spy on the Atari way back in the day.
I never played.
At least I think that was Spy vs. Spy on Atari.
It could have been because it did work on Atari. With the one way. when joysticks were just one little thing and a button.
Yes.
That's how good gamers we were. We only needed one stick and a button. You all need 8 buttons, trigger, right bumper. You need save points. We didn't have save points. Sound like an old lady. We didn't have save points in my day.
No kidding. Final Fantasy on the NES. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Microsoft halts development on Microsoft Flight and Project Columbia.
I just did that woman.
Did you? I thought so. I was like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. It just popped up on my screen. I was like, why does this look familiar?
Cutting you.
You can cut me, There's so much news. I'm trying to, like, backtrack and see what all is good out there that I missed while I was gone. Preschoolers. I guess they are preschoolers. Anyways, preschoolers who play interactive games have better motor skills. Researchers at Deakin University, Melbourne, Australia, have come to the conclusion that preschool-aged children who play interactive video games, such as those found on the Wii, have better motor skills than those children who do not regularly play interactive games. Deakin University researchers and a researcher from the University of... Wollongong. Wow. Conducted a pilot study in 2009 of 53 preschoolers ages 3 to 6 years old, 31 girls, 22 boys, to determine if there was some sort of association between playing games and the fundamental movement skills of children. The participants were selected from the Healthy Active Preschool Years Happy Study. Right around 35% of the children played non-interactive electronic games, 23% played interactive games exclusively, and 6 of the children played both interactive and non-interactive games. Children spent an average of 183 minutes, 3.05 hours per week playing non-interactive games, and 118 minutes, 1.97 hours playing interactive games. Factoring in all of the possible influences on a child's object control skill level, 12% of it was associated with their time playing interactive games. The physical activity levels of the children and movement skills were monitored at home by parents, who then provided reports to researchers. In addition to using the Wii, some participants played games on portable devices such as the DS. Anyways, this goes on and on. More or less, children, preschoolers who play interactive games are going to have better motor skills. We already kind of knew this. This is not exactly news, but hey, they did some research to prove it. So for those of you gamers out there who have little gamers who you're letting to play your games, awesome! Your kid has better motor skills than the other kids, so they'll be able to slap the next kid.
No, ma'am.
No?
Ginger, no slapping the babies.
Slap a baby.
Well, of course, Baby Natrix does slap other children. I try to keep her. She's a little bully.
Oh, no.
She's nice for the most part, but yeah, sometimes they're getting on my nerves, and yes, she says that. Okay. Google, muted.
Mm-hmm. What? Who muted Google?
Ever wonder why you don't see many of your friends online on Google Talks instant messaging list?
No, I don't really pay attention.
Well, VentureBeat said they would like you to rest assured that it is not due to a zombie uprising. It's because the Google Talk service has been down for the majority of users using it just this morning, including a portion of the people over at VentureBeat, us, and several others of you. Some users were able to sign in, but have no access to their contact list. Those that can see contact lists online are unable to message them. The outage extends to Android services and basically anything else that accesses Google Talk, Gmail, iMessages, AddyMX, etc. Google, however, is aware of the outage. The company's app status dashboard currently states, "We are aware of the problem at Google Talk affecting a majority of users. The affected users are able to access Google Talk but are seeing error messages and other unexpected behavior. Unfortunately, Google did not offer an estimate on how long it would take to fix the problem. It is unfortunate for Google because some of its users now have a good reason to check out the official version of Apple's recently launched Messages desktop app for Microsoft operating operating system X, Mountain Lion. They're saying that, well, as of 8:15, they're saying that some of it's been restored for some users. So Facebook looks like it's the only social network standing. Or is someone attacking something? Because Twitter still be down.
That'd be no good. That'd be no good. They better not be attacking the Twitter.
And Joe, if you're listening, I'm going to try to say hello to you on Google. You let me know if you get it. If we don't hear back from you, I'll know you didn't get it. Test.
All right. So, rescue the tiny owls and bring them home to safety.
Yes, because tiny owls need rescuing. That's what we do.
Tiny Owls takes you on an adventure in a cute and colorful fantasy world in which you must escort your baby owl through narrow passages but be cautious and careful as your wings are fragile and will break should you encounter a collision with the elements or the monsters throughout the environment. Featuring highly intuitive one-touch controls, controlling your owl quickly becomes second nature. Simply tap to fly upwards and tilt your device to steer left and right, avoiding obstacles and enemies on the way to the exit. Tiny Owls includes crisp and colorful 3D graphics, more than 60 cleverly designed challenging levels, addicting gameplay, and easy-to-learn controls. As a bonus, the developer has made a 15-level version of the game available as a free download for iOS and Android, in addition to making it fully playable directly from your browser through their website. All right, so what have we got? Rich 3D graphics immerse you in a colorful fantasy world. Over 60 lovely designed levels for challenging... are out... Oh, my goodness. Over 60 lovely designed levels are challenging yet fun. Simple, addicting gameplay. Easy to pick up. One touch and tilt controls. Full support for the new iPad Retina display. Universal app that plays on both your iPad and iPhone. Hey, don't chew on that. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah. There's a baby kitten in here. Anyways, so, yeah. If you want to play this, head over to GameNatrix.com. I've got this up for you.
So Puss in the Boots and Natrix is eating cords, is what you're saying?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. The Puss in the Boot.
Puss in the Boots and Natrix.
Puss in the Natrix, yes. Yes, yes. I was trying to chew on my headphone cords. Oh, like, no.
Oh, I just want to chew on stuff, Mommy.
She is so cute. Yeah, she wants my attention. It's what she wants. Like, no, you can have it in 20 minutes.
Is she's not mewing at you? Because that's what Kit Natrix does.
And no, she got... No. Her and I had a mewing contest earlier. I won.
Ginger, don't pick on the baby.
Well, she tried to climb my leg. Hurt. Not nice.
Ginger.
We had a mewing contest.
All right. Well, we knew it was coming. Donkey Kong and the rest of the games are dying. The arcade is dead. Sadly, the cathode ray tube technology that powered the monitors for nearly every classic arcade game in the 20th century is officially defunct. Sony, Samsung, and others have left it behind for skinnier and more lucrative LCD plasmas, and the CRTs that are left out are about to sell out. The current stock for a new 29-inch CRT monitor is dwindling. Online arcade cabinet and parts supplier Dream Arcade has fewer than 30 of those large displays sitting on its shelf. When it sells out of the current inventory, it will never get another shipment in that size again. Michael Ware, founder of Dream Arcade, said we've secured enough of the other sizes to get us all the way through next year. He says after that, that's it. The future of arcade cabinet restoration is looking bleak. Oh no! According to VendorBeat, the old arcade games are like aging people. That's also from Walter Day, who's the founder of high scorekeeping site Twin Galaxies. He says they have old livers and aging kidneys. There will come a day when very few arcade cabinets have original components. Time will wear them out. To be clear, it's not that games like Donkey Kong or Pac-Man will suddenly become unplayable. The games can run on the newer LCD screens, but they may not look as the developers intended. He says it's just not going to feel nostalgic, Ware told GamesBeat. He says when they ask him about the problems with the modern display technology, he said the pixels will be sharper on an LCD, but they may not be 100% accurate. Colors won't be as vibrant. Additionally, Ware explained that the refresh rate on an LCD may not play well along with an old game's code that is expecting a much more responsive CRT monitor. It could cause unsightly screen tearing that looks like one half of the screen is occasionally redrawing before the other, and I have seen that.
That's not cute. Yeah.
When the last major manufacturer stopped making CRTs, they sold the manufacturing equipment to a Chinese company that couldn't properly reproduce the winding procedure. Turns out that it's a semi-manual process, said Ware. You have to wind the CRT bulbs by hand, so they stopped making them. I have an engineer on staff, he said, that couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It's almost an art form. Winding together a CRT tube with its electron gun, the major two components in a CRT, requires a delicate touch.
You know, that sounds so geeky and so hot.
I know, that's why I'm reading it. And got my hands below the desk. It's a two-part by-hand procedure that begins with the laborer painting the inside of the tube as it spins on a centrifuge. The worker must then use a dipstick-like brush to coat the depths of the monitor and a conducive substance. Then he must merge the glass of the bulb and the electron gun under a flame that burns at 400 degrees Celsius Any debris or dust that gets into the unit at that point will shorten the display's life expectancy. Because the process is so difficult, it's unlikely that anyone will pick up the mantle just to serve a small community of classic arcade enthusiasts. More likely, niche repair companies will begin charging more and more money to fix the older CRT bulbs. He says, we're looking at a situation where playing Donkey Kong in the way its creator intended is reserved only for the most dedicated collector. It will be prohibitively expensive to recreate the experience. He says, I have a feeling that, you know, how there are those guys doing pinball repair on the side, there will probably be some guy you can send your monitor to and have him rewind the bulb. He says, I think it's going to be really expensive. A CRT tube is very heavy, so shipping costs alone would be great, would be costly. Right now, he says, I don't know of anyone who does the winding. To fill the void, they suggest that new companies will emerge to reproduce those old machines using only modern-day technology. An LCD screen connected to a PC running a piece of software that approximates the original experiences will be adequate for most people. At the time, exactly restoring the original units may become a high-end designer kind of gift that is only pursued by the wealthy. In the very far future, the value of an authentic 1980s arcade game may become so high that the monetary value will be significant, and all the private sellers might sell their holdings to museums, which are better equipped to preserve them properly. That is hurtful.
Wow. That is. That's not cool. There's a little store here in town that sells a bunch of old the arcade games. They're awesome. They're so high. They're so cute. And I want them so badly. If I had a game room, they'd all belong in there.
Well, first you'd have to, you know, you'd have to buy them. You'd have to find them.
Yeah, about that. So, Irrational Games job listing tied to Metacritic score. A job listing from Irrational Games has a peculiar requirement. The applicant has to have worked on a game receiving an average Metacritic score of 85 or higher. The job posting, which can be found on Gamasutras.jobs section, that seeks applicants to fill a design manager position at the company for its Boston offices. While the usual requirements for such a position are straightforward, the media has picked up on the following line under the requirements section of the job listing. Credits on at least one game with an 85-plus average Metacritic review score. I don't know what I think about that, because we've already said that we don't like Metacritic, because anybody can go over there and put in their two cents, whether it's valid or not, right?
Yeah. And that's why I tell people, like, well, Metacritic says no.
And you want to hire somebody off of the score? I don't think I like this very well. Whose idea was this? And you should slap them.
This is a very, very scary world we live in.
I mean, because you could be a great developer, a great coder, whatever, and just have a stinky game, you know? That's not on you specifically, but yet you're going to be judged for the whole? Or what about those poor people? What was that? A company recently went out of business up there?
Like, why people got crazy scores, and 38 Studios got crazy, although they deserved it. But 38 Studios got crazy scores, and some of them may be excellent developers.
Exactly. Yeah, 38 Studios are who I was thinking about. And that's not their fault that their business was run by monkeys.
You are not right.
I know I'm not. I know I'm not. But it's true. So, you know, you're cutting a whole lot of people out of this that could be great and could be helping you. And because you want a Metacritic review score, you're dumb.
All right. It'd be my turn.
It'd be your turn.
Mm-hmm. You people that love to have your iPhone in the car and you got all this lovely stuff hooked up, I envy you, but I got some bad news for you. If you have one of the high-end cars, say maybe a BMW, an Audi tomorrow, you may have the new iPhone 5 may not work with your car.
Oh, no. Why not?
Well, apparently Apple is reportedly going to move to a 19-pin connector that is smaller than the current 30-pin cable. So if that is true, then the new iPhone 5 will be instantly incompatible with the built-in 30-pin connectors that come equipped currently with the Kia, the Hyundai, and Nissan vehicles. It may not be a cause for a total freakout, but for some of you, it will be, you geeks. Most vehicles on the market do offer integrated USB ports, which can accept any cables, at least where one end is a USB. As long as Apple doesn't decide to pissed everyone off and move away from the USB on the non-iPhone in, you'll still be able to connect your next-gen iPhone this way. Additionally, most new vehicles do come with Bluetooth, and an increasing number of these vehicles allow for streaming music. And if all else fails, you can tell the new 19-pin connector to take a hike and stream your music wirelessly, which may or may not work either. Because we know Wi-Fi on the outsides of cars can sometimes interfere with what's going on in the car. Either way, good luck to you people that do so. I think my car is supposed to stream stuff, but I have never been able to get it to do so. So I just work with what I got. And since that was short, I got another one.
What? You got another one? All right, what you got?
Ucool Inc., another indie game studio, has announced the launch of Taimen. It's a social fantasy RPG city-building game. Developed by the team that created Evony. Mm-hmm. Yes, eyebrow is raised. Tainan introduces new concepts to the social gaming landscape, combining a mix of established online game mechanics with story-driven RPG play and vivid art and animations. You can play Tainan for free. Tainan.ucool.com is where you'd go. In Tainan, you control the elite knight Rosalind in a quest to rescue her king and save the realm from an evil wizard's plot. Okay, you got a girl in the lead? I can get with that. You also get to battle some wicked goblins, serpent queens, and feisty dwarves across 100 hand-drawn levels. On your journey, players will be able to build up a roster of unique heroes, collect epic loot, because you know that other loot just isn't going to do. It has to be epic, and ultimately rescue the world of Tainan. In addition to questing through underwater cities, enchanted forests, and more, players are tasked with helping to rebuild the once magnificent Imperial City. Gamers customize and upgrade their city by building houses, shops, and farms, collecting currency and other resources to improve their heroes and continue the fight. Players may cooperate with friends on Facebook and other social networks to gain extra resources, or additionally, fight their friends in the game's PvP arena. Some of the other features are you can build, again, an empire. City-building mechanics lets you create your own custom kingdom. You also have a single-player adventure, which will allow you to travel the realm and battle different foes across 100 levels and collect unique heroes, blah, blah, blah. It's also animated combat. Vivid battle scenes provide for an immersive single-player experience. There's also RPG customization, which lets adventurers select which heroes make up their party, customizing them with special weapons, armor, and more. You can also play with your friends. You can use your friends to help upgrade the cities, as well as gain resources by visiting and maintaining their towns, because it wouldn't be a social game without that. PvP, you can strengthen heroes, improve party formations to defeat friends and online foes, or race other players in daily resource challenges to win awards and recognition on worldwide ranking boards. That scale, player level, and time played. Conquer quests. You complete quests to receive gold and gems, which can be used to upgrade weapons and armor, level up heroes, and construct special buildings. Again, you can go over to tainan.ucool.com. It looks okay. There's a lot of color on that there screen.
We like color.
There's a lot of color on that there screen. Tons of color. All right.
Go check that out.
It looks interesting.
Well, most of these games nowadays tend to bore me really quickly, so hopefully.
Yeah, they're like fast food.
Yes. You can only eat it for so long before you're like, blah.
I do hate that your lead character that they have a picture of, very much a mimic of EverQuest with the elf.
Oh, no.
Yeah, very much, but she's cartoon and more cartoony, childlike looking, but with you can hear the music in my background. I'm not happy.
Sure you're not playing EverQuest? All right, so...
I'm out of here. I had to leave that. That was too loud. That is just wrong, people.
En Masse Entertainment to release the Argon Queen update to Terra. Extended battlegrounds, new raids, new dungeons, and new BAMs. BAMs, bam, bam, bam. En Masse Entertainment, the company behind the highly acclaimed action MMO Terra, is pleased to share every detail surrounding the game's biggest update yet, which will be available to players free of charge next month. A new game video outlines some of the upcoming features and is available now as well, which I think I have up on GameAndMatrix.com. I think, maybe. Terra is all about action-oriented combat, so this update will improve certain classes to make them more versatile on the battlefield. Warriors are now more effective as tanks, pulling threat from enemies while still dealing quick damage, and the Burly Lancer has increased agility to help avoid attacks. Players will be able to test these new skills against each other in Freywind Canyon with the addition of the all-new Battlegrounds, where users from different servers will clash in fierce 15-on-15 battles for in-game supremacy. Players will also find new dungeons, including the dark and sinister Argon Corpus, the colorful and vibrant Serjuka Gallery, and the ultimate face-off against the Argon Queen herself, Emaniah's Core. Players will need to be at their best to fend off her relentless attacks. Players will also experience an expanded 10-person raid for the first time in the Nexus Traverse, with some of the biggest and baddest bands of the world of Terra has ever seen. Look for more details surrounding this exciting update over the next month. Yay! Anyways, all right, so you want to play this? You want to check it out? Terra-online.com. Go play. Let me know how it is. I would play, but they wanted to charge me, and I was like, eh.
I refuse.
Yeah, I was like, it's not free to play. I got some free to play games. It's all right.
All right. Well, Twitter, yes, people, still down over an hour.
That's not good.
It's not completely down, apparently, because some people are able to tweet, and I'm seeing 911 people only, and 911 have shared the tweet, which means only those 911 people have Twitter.
Twitter status. Users may experience issues accessing Twitter. Our engineers are currently working to resolve the issue.
Mm-hmm. Looks like Facebook is probably going, ha ha, right now.
Facebook's probably, like, still yawning, shrugging it off the last night's party.
Darn, oh, that's mean, Ginger. That's mean.
Facebook and I are having a go around.
You having a fight?
Yes. For the Android app and I have been not seeing eye to eye, so to say.
It is a little odd.
It wants to work sometimes and other times. No, just not at all.
Does yours sometimes, like, log in and then won't let you?
Yes. Yes. It says the whole cannot connect or something.
Oh, yeah, and it'll. But you're getting the notices from Facebook.
Yes.
That says somebody posted something.
Yes. Yes, but you click on them and it just spins.
And then it spins or it says you need to log in. And you're like, but how did I get this if I wasn't logged in?
Yes. It'll randomly log me out for no reason.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, Facebook, screw you. I'll go play on Google Plus.
I did it too. Oh.
Is it my turn? Is it your turn?
Actually, it's almost the turn for us to go, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
We got about 2 minutes if you can jump in with a quick one.
Did we talk about Redbox the other day?
No, I think I saw that a little late. Jump in there quickly.
All right, Redbox Instant Revealed. 5 months ago, kiosk video game and movie rental company Redbox announced a deal with Verizon to create a service to compete with Netflix. Today, we learned a little bit more about the service via a freshly launched website, which is redboxinstant.com. The name of the new service is Redbox Instant by Verizon and will be headed by Sean Strickland, who served as an executive for Verizon's Fios pay TV service. Somebody find out whether or not he's hot and whether or not I can sit in his lap.
Word.
The service combines a Redbox DVD and Blu-ray kiosk rental program with streaming video services of a Verizon's network. For now, the service is only available on an invitation-only basis and is in the alpha testing stage. While the new website reveals the executive team in charge of the venture, further details on the stuff we care about, like pricing models and the library of entertainment that will be available at launch, was not revealed. Verizon.
Oh, my God.
What?
Something is going on because
what's going on?
Facebook just gave me a error. What the fuck is going on?
I gotta see. No, my Facebook's still working.
Oh, it could have been just a glitch, but I was like, oh, no, not you too, Facebook. We are blind.
My Facebook's still going.
Okay, let me go ahead and... okay, I refresh.
Tsunami evacuation plan. Grab beer, run like hell. Okay. Only in Australia.
Wow. Okay. Well, in that note, it's time for us to get on the way, get on the road, get out, go.
Let's
got messages coming in on Google Plus. Joe was threatening to sell his share empires yesterday. So good thing he says a good thing I didn't. I knew you were up to something. All right, people, we are out of here. We shall see you later on tonight. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can sit in the room. You can call in. I know some of you yesterday were dying to call in. You had stuff you wanted to say. You can do it tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Call in. Sit in the room.
Do it. We'll be there.
All right.
Mm-hmm.